So if I say to Marcus, out of the blue, here's some spaghetti, don't throw it on the wall, what do you suppose he's going to do with that spaghetti? It's going to be all over the wall, right? Because I've just suggested to his little mind that throwing it at the wall is a possibility, and he may not have even ever considered that before, but now he knows it's a real option, and I'm going to be cleaning hamburger and tomato sauce off the wall. So with a two-year-old, you don't talk about hypotheticals much. You address the areas where you've run into problems already. So we're saying a lot these days at my house, we do not hit. We only go pee-pee in the potty. Works sometimes. When we're inside, we use our inside voices. When we ask for things, we say please. We do not bite. And none of these are out of nowhere, right? We say these things because we have been known to hit, to wet our pants, to yell, to whine, and to demand, and even sometimes to bite. No, the fact that we bring it up at all implies that it's something that we need to work on. And something similar, I think, is happening in our reading from Ephesians today that you heard Kim read from a moment ago. The text calls early Christians to humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Which sounds to me like a clear indication that the young church was not doing well, that they were divided. Why else did they need to hear all of that, right? It's hard to know exactly what the issues were, but you don't make these kind of appeals hypothetically. You don't make them if there aren't problems already. Maybe the conflict was between the Jewish Christians, who probably considered themselves the old guard, the true faithful, and the new Gentile Christians, who really didn't know much or probably care at first how Israel fit into this whole story of Jesus and the salvation of the world. Maybe, though, it was something simpler, like the little squabbles that we know so well that had already started. Somebody wanted to replace the carpet in the fellowship hall, and somebody else thought that was a bad idea, and it went to trouble from there. In some ways, the church hasn't changed all that much over the millennia. Still today, I think we're all too familiar with division, aren't we? Just within the church, issues of authority, issues of sexuality, issues of biblical interpretation, man, not even to mention which political candidate you might support, all of these issues, they can still wedge such a deep rift between members of the body that we sometimes throw up our hands and refuse to come even to this table together. If you need a more specific example, just look at our church, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, and our relationship with our brothers and sisters in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Our divisions have become so deep in the last 10 years that we're not even able to work on programs of humanitarian aid like malaria together anymore. We have our own separate little program for malaria, and they have their own separate little program. What kind of witness to Christ is it when we can't even work with our own Lutheran brothers and sisters? It's a testament to the presence and power of sin in the world that even groups of Christians, even groups of Lutherans, even particular congregations aren't able to get along with one another. But it's exactly to this kind of division and conflict that Ephesians speaks. And the message is one that transcends these debates. It's something that I hope breaks through the walls and reminds us of the identity that we share, the identity that supersedes all divisions. Because as we know, the sin that divides us is not the last word. The last word, the first word for that matter in creation, is Christ, who on the cross destroys death and sin's ultimate grasp on our world, and Christ in whom we are truly one. So the writer of Ephesians reminds us that there is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God of all, who is above all and through all and in all. And in case you weren't keeping count there, that was seven times over those two verses that the word one is used to refer to how we are connected, unified with one another in what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. And of course, this doesn't mean that we all are suddenly seeing everything in the same way and are going to be really excited to hold hands and sing Kumbaya. But what it does mean is that we are all in this together, and that we need to stay focused on the fact that we are working for the same cause in spite of our differences in perspective, in spite of our differences in giftedness. As Ephesians says, we are all working to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. That is our shared identity and mission. And that identity and mission, it transcends everything else, anything else that could divide us or even for a time bring us together. It has to be Christ that's the glue that sticks us together. Christ, who died for my sins and also for yours, connects us in history, purpose, and future. This has to be primary for us, not the color of the carpet, not who is being unreasonable or who has offended me, not where our political affiliations lie, not the fact that we know that we are the ones who are in the right and they are the ones who are in the wrong. If we want to be followers of Christ, and I really think we do, I mean, forgiveness of sins, resurrection of the dead, eternal life, the kingdom of heaven brought to fulfillment among us, and a foretaste of it at this table. To me, I think that sounds like something I want to be part of. So if we want to be followers of Christ and be part of that kingdom in the here and now, well, that means that Christ is not just a part of our lives, but is our lives, right? It's the thing upon which every direction and decision and affiliation in our lives happens. And as inconvenient as it may be, that means, if we're going to be followers of Christ, it means we have to deal with each other, not just begrudgingly, but in love, because we are one body. No, we're not always going to be on the same page about things. The text specifically acknowledges, in fact, that we aren't all the same. Some of us have what it takes to be apostles, and some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers. And actually, it takes all of these differences. We need all of that diversity of gifts for the building up of the body of Christ. But the truth to which we hold is that there is something greater at work than anything that divides us. It's stronger than political affiliations, economic status, cultural norms, denominational differences. Jesus, right? Jesus, the one who claims us, saves us, Jesus and the work of God's kingdom has to be what unites us, what makes us one with our sisters and brothers. So that when we disagree, and it's inevitable this side of glory that we will, we don't disagree, we don't make it about being right or winning the argument, we don't disagree for the sake of putting others down, but that when we disagree, we do it in the spirit of love to which God has called us. Because the thing is, Christ didn't just die for me, Christ didn't just die for Chip, Christ didn't just die for Sheila. Christ didn't just die for you to be a free agent and do whatever you want to do. Jesus died for the body of Christ, right? The body. That means all of us collectively, we're in this together as the body of Christ, which we are a part of. The words of Ephesians are for us, not just for somebody 2,000 years ago. And we do well to remember that when that pettiness and indignation rises hot in our chests, we do well to remember those words. I beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, because there is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. That's why we're all here, because we're in this together through Christ who binds us. Nothing in there at all about having to like each other. So if that's a struggle, you can release that right now. You are not called to like everybody, but you are called to love each other. We do have to love each other, because united in Christ, we hold to one mission, and we are one body, whether we like it or not. Thanks be to God. Amen.